And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Friday, December 3rd. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are brought to you by Prize Picks, and we got a 9-game slate ahead of us, and I assume it can't be any crazier than the lead up to yesterday's 5-gamer. I hope that it's not any crazier, but we shall see. Before you guys do anything at all, please hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. All of that helps us out tremendously. Adam, how did it end up for you yesterday?
It was pretty frustrating because it should have, I think, been a really good night for me, but I set something wrong in Fantasy Cruncher because I was rushing and didn't really think it through, and it came back to bite me because I ended up with no lineups that had Aldama and Jaren Jackson together because I just used the generic max one center from a team instead of taking the time to actually set rules, and it came back to bite me. Didn't have a lot of Simons, had a lot of Aldama, had a lot of Jackson, had a lot of Drew, had a lot of Randall, didn't win money.
Yep. I had enough Randall. I had all of the Drew. And like, it's not like he was even good. He just fell into 37 minutes too, which was good enough, at least on FanDuel. But 60-something% Simons felt great. I opened that box score app this morning and I was like, oh, cool. He played 10 minutes. I don't even need to keep looking at this nonsense. Like I was like quite a bit over on the late game. And I thought things were going like decent enough heading into it that I was live if something broke on that game. It broke the other way.
Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of McCollum. I didn't have much Simons just from, I think, swapping to other pieces. I mean, between Drew and the OKC mess. But it felt like it's frustrating. Like, obviously, I don't care when I lose a slate because, like, I'm going to lose most slates. But it's frustrating when, like, a stupid mistake probably cost me some really good teams.
Yeah. You know what else was pretty rough yesterday? That would be the 152-79 matchup between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Oklahoma City Thunder. That right there was rough. They lost by 73. Jeremiah Robinson Earl was minus 56 in 24 minutes. Dort was minus 53 in 25 minutes. The entire team was no better than minus 18. That was Gabriel Deck. Dylan Brooks played 15 minutes. Like, what do you do here? I mean, like, obviously the answer is nothing and you can't prepare for that, but I mean, that's the biggest beating in the history of the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing you really could do. To me, the most surprising part was that, like, Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks both did nothing in that game. Like, if you tell me that score, I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Everybody on Memphis that's relevant probably at least did okay. But the fact that, like, some of the main Memphis pieces were absolutely terrible is pretty crazy.
Yeah, DeAnthony Melton was plus 46 in 22 minutes, 8 of 10 from the field. I mean, every time down the floor, they were basically gaining two points on the Thunder. It was over before it started. 31-16 in the first quarter, 41-20 in the second quarter, made it 72-36. They were fully doubled up at the half. That is just gross. That is super, super gross. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. Don't worry, we got enough stink bombs on this slate that we'll talk about. I'm ready to dive in if you are, man.
Yeah, what's with, like, Houston, OKC, Orlando, like, all the bad teams just, like, rotating through each other right now?
Yeah, it's not ideal. I need those teams to play, like, legitimate teams so that I can just assume everybody sucks instead of, like,
I actually kind of prefer it this way because you get to, like, project it as an actual game instead of worrying about if they're going to lose by 40.
Yeah, something like that. Oklahoma City versus Memphis, they lose by 70 instead. All right, we're going to start off with Miami and Indy. And this one's kind of wild. I don't want to talk about the Indy side. I really need to get your thoughts on it, though. It's a real big problem for me. And I need you to, like, either set me straight or agree with me or do something. But let's start here on the Miami. Jimmy Butler out, injured tailbone. Bam Adebayo, torn UCL. He's going to be out for, I think it's UCL. It doesn't matter. He's out for a couple months and still no Markieff Morris. So Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero pulling quite a bit of ownership. Hero 30%+ across both sites. Lowry is 39 on FanDuel, 13 on DraftKings. He's $1,300 more expensive there. And then Dwayne Dedmond is 20% owned on FanDuel, 34 on DraftKings. That scares me a little bit. Not that he's not a good play, but I think Lowry and Hero are the key pieces for me. I don't feel as interested in Dwayne Dedmond as I did, like, as the public seems to. So I'm curious on your thoughts.
Yeah, that's where I'm at as well. I still think Dedmond looks like a very good value at 4,800. There are obviously you know, minutes available for him and all of that. And, you know, he's a good fantasy producer. He played 31 minutes last game, probably would have played a few more had the game been competitive. In his four starts now this year, you've gotten, I think, 17, 25, 29, and 30 minutes. So it's not really anything to do with Dedmon. The issue that I have is that he is up to 4,800. And so while he's still a good value, there are still just going to be alternatives in that price range that can give you 30 plus fantasy points. And so whenever that kind of ownership comes into someone, especially when they're only center eligible as well. So there's only two spots you can roster him at on DraftKings, and you're going to have similarly priced alternatives that even if they don't project quite as well, they have the same range of outcomes. So it's not really a knock on Dedmon. I think he's still a very good value option, but in tournaments, I don't really mind if I don't get to the field there.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. Let's talk through. I don't really have too much to add on Hero. No Butler, 7K on FanDuel, shooting guard, small forward, 7,500 on DraftKings, point guard, shooting guard. But to me, he's the best option from Miami today.
Yeah, I think Hero looks great. I mean, he's been a high usage guy all year anyway. Then you take Butler and Bam off the floor, and he's just going to have to do a lot. I mean, like, you know, PJ Tucker's not taking more shots. Duncan Robinson's not going to pick up a bunch of usage. So 173 minutes total this year for Hero without those two on the floor, 32.3% usage rate, 1.11 DraftKings points per minute. Lowry's at 1.02 DraftKings points per minute, still only a 19.2% usage rate for him, but a 38.8% assist percentage. So him and Hero, you know, I think just obviously stand out here.
Are you looking at anybody else? I don't, to me, the rest of the team is just sort of filler. I don't have a great feel for like Caleb Martin, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, which one of those guys is going to get the most run. They all just sort of look like value pieces you can rotate through.
Yeah, that's how I see it too. Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, both played 27.6 minutes exactly last game. Max Strus played 27.9. I think there's a good chance, you know, again, that you're getting 26 to 28 minutes from all of those guys at their salaries. It's going to make them look like reasonable options. Nothing that, you know, I'm super excited about, but they're Vincent's 3,900, Strus is 38, Martin's 37 on DraftKings. They all look fine.
This is completely unrelated to all things that we're talking about. The Spurs now lead their all-time series with the Blazers 89-88 after yesterday's win. San Antonio has a historic winning record against every team in the NBA.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's
it's really also kind of crazy. The Blazers were the holdout.
Yeah, they were 88-88 heading into that one.
Not to like the Blazers are typically bad or anything, but I just would have guessed other teams.
Yeah, I would have thought like
the Lakers, you know, or the Boston Bulls or the Celtics. Types. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, that's what happens when Tim Duncan plays 20 years and you're a 50 win team every single season. Like, you're just going to build that shit up
before Tim.
Yeah. Duncan. Yeah. They've been good for a long time until right now. Anything else here for Miami?
No, not really. I mean, you can throw PJ Tucker into that Strus, Vincent, Martin category as well.
All right. Look, we're starting with one piece of information that we have to deal with. I need your help. I need you to talk me through it. Caris LeVert today is 5,700 on DraftKings, point guard, shooting guard eligible. I think he's fine. Unfortunately for me, Caris LeVert is shooting guard, small forward eligible on FanDuel and 4,800. That is the same price as Chris Duarte. He's projected for 44% ownership. And that is the highest number on the slate by 0.1% to LaMarcus Aldridge. What in the world do I have to do to not get Caris LeVert tonight at 4,800?
Take the night off.
Probably, right? Like, he's just a great play, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay. He's...
just, I need your help, man, because even, like, I'm not, it's not like I'm, you know, like, I got him around a fantasy point per minute. I don't think he's going to be a terrible shooter high, the entire... But... Okay. Like I said, around. It's under one. Rounding up. Been 0.85 for the last 30 days. I think something in the 0.9 range is probably where it should be. He's just going to look great at 4,800.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the matchup's okay. Not great, but taking out Butler and Bam certainly makes it better. The issue with LeVert is that he's scoring dependent. He's not efficient. And it's not even like he's, you know, a 30% usage guy or anything. With Brogdon and Sabonis, he's around 25%. So you're getting like a mid-level usage guy that is capable of missing a lot of shots and doesn't do a whole lot else. So that's the risk, but he's priced for that. And he's priced to play like 28 minutes, which he did play last game, but on average, I'm pretty comfortable at this point thinking you're going to get 32 to 34 on most nights. So I think he's just pretty obviously underpriced.
You and I are on the same boat and it's not fun. He was my number one contender. I thank God that I didn't have to record those before the show started. I wasn't ready for the beating that I'm going to take in comments and on Twitter for recommending Caris LeVert again, considering how bad he was the last time out. But yeah, on FanDuel at that price, I don't see how you can get away from him. Like, logically, he just looks too good at 4,800. That price just isn't correct. His price went up on DraftKings for today, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, so on DraftKings now, he's played 12 games with Brogdon, Sabonis, LeVert, or obviously LeVert, with Brogdon and Sabonis. He's averaged 0.84 DraftKings points per minute with a 24% usage rate, only a 15% assist percentage. So, you know, again, he's fine. On FanDuel, he's at 0.83 FanDuel points per minute in those games. So it's weird. Like, he's clearly underpriced. I think he's underpriced because of the minutes. I don't think he's underpriced from a production standpoint. If you tell me he's playing 28 minutes, 4,800 is like where he should be, give or take. Like, it's a little low. Yeah. There's still ceiling, but it's kind of like if you're trying to project everyone for like, or if you're trying to price everyone so that they're like 5X, 4,800 is the ballpark where he would be if he were still playing 28 minutes. It's those extra minutes that get him there for me. It's not any level of confidence in his performance or, you know, thinking that he's mispriced for his fantasy production.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, we're just seeing him like not play well. He's got a 47% true shooting percentage. I don't think it's going to be much higher than that, but even just making it like 51, which is a little bit closer to his normal rates, just improves him from a 0.85 guy to a 0.9 guy. And I think that's where I'm landing. Shooting guard, small forward also helps out tremendously. Like, I get it all. I'm probably going to end up right around the field, somewhere in that 50% range on LeVert on FanDuel, and I can't get away from it. I also don't want to get away from it. If that dude goes off on a day that I fade him, I'm going to lose my mind. So I will happily eat that for all of, I'll do it the whole year. I don't care. I need at least one day where LeVert goes like 8X and I can at least smile at the end of the night.
Also,
let's talk about the, go ahead.
I'll say McConnell being out is potentially a benefit for him as well.
Because, it can't be worse, right?
Well, right. But so 2 games ago, LeVert basically was just playing all of his minutes with Brogdon. Well, I guess that's partly because Brogdon plays almost every single minute, but
yeah, when you play 40, there's not a lot of wiggle room.
Right. But like in the first half, for example, LeVert was also on the bench when Brogdon was on the bench. In the second half, he was on the floor, but it was for like 2 minutes. But the last game, you had McConnell get hurt in the first half and LeVert played when Brogdon played a nice chunk of minutes without Brogdon out there. In the second half, you didn't get that, but it was kind of a weird rotation for LeVert. I'm just thinking there's a better chance now that maybe he runs with the second unit and gets more ball handling opportunities.
Well, I hope you're right. How does
there's
that
also a chance Brogdon just plays 46 minutes.
Yeah. How does that TJ McConnell news affect the rest of these guys? Like, I clearly like Malcolm Brogdon at 7,800 on FanDuel, or 8,500 on DraftKings isn't even all that crazy. He's not getting that much ownership, but it's a better price on FanDuel. I'll happily get to a bit of Sabonis on FanDuel, 8,500 plus you get power forward center. I'm happy to get to some Chris Duarte or Miles Turner. Like, to me, those five guys look pretty good. Does anybody jump out from that group of five, or do you see anybody stepping into the rotation with enough minutes to matter for the rest of the Pacers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on those five. Brogdon's salary has jumped back up to the mid 8K range, where I think really he should be based on how many minutes he's playing, but still over a fantasy point per minute guy that's likely to give you between 35 and 40 minutes here. So he looks solid. Sabonis looks fine. Turner looks fine. Duarte's minutes should be there. I think McConnell being out does even more to solidify that. He played 35 minutes last game. The issue with Duarte is that there's just not a lot of, you know, shots to go around when you're playing with Brogdon and Sabonis and LeVert. He's now started 4 games with those guys, and he has a 16.8% usage rate, 6.5% rebounding percentage, 8.5% assist percentage. So not doing a whole lot, but still, just if he's going to be out there for 35 minutes at 4,400, he's going to look like a pretty good value.
Okay. At least we're on the same page in that regard. Just curious here. Give me 1 second to pull it up because I want to make sure that I'm right. You assume it's the same starting lineup, but Duarte stays there. Brogdon, Duarte, LeVert, Sabonis, Turner.
Yep. And as far as anybody entering the rotation that potentially could get in the lineups, I think it's Brad Wanamaker, but I don't think he actually really gets in the lineups.
Yeah, to me, it should be Jeremy Lamb, but I think that he might just be like cooked for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, last game you got it. It was Wanamaker, and then you got some second half run from Keelan Martin. But that seems like it had more to do with Caris LeVert's weird rotation.
Anything else you want to touch on here for Indy?
Nope.
All righty, let's move it on to The Cleveland Cavaliers, 4-point dogs against your Washington Wizards. On the Cleveland side, no Chetty Osmond, doubtful tag on Dean Wade for Washington. We've got a Q tag on Denny and a Q tag on Aaron Holiday. I don't think that any of that really matters for right now, but we can dig into it if we need to. For Cleveland, highest owned guy on DraftKings is Evan Mobley at 11%, and I think he looks like the best guy at 6,700. On the FanDuel side, it's a little bit of Darius Garland, a little bit of Jared Allen, 10 to 15% owned on FanDuel. To me, no legitimate priorities here, but I think Mobley is probably the best option on DK that you're going to find.
Yeah, I agree with that. 6,700 for someone that has a path to playing 37 or 38 minutes at a fantasy point per minute looks pretty good. I don't have any issues with Jared Allen, but he is pretty expensive at 8,100. Kevin Love had a big game last time out, but still only played 21 minutes. So I think it's pretty difficult to get there at 5,100. This is just another team, though, where I think that like all the main rotation guys look okay at their salaries. You know, Mobley looks, I think, the best, but Allen looks fine. 7,200 for Garland is fine. 5,800 for Markkanen, 5,900 for Rubio. Those are all okay prices. So assuming this team's not going to get much ownership because they don't really stand out as underpriced, it is a spot where I think, you know, sort of just mixing them in a little bit makes sense. But there's not, outside of Mobley to some extent, there's not really anyone that stands out as being particularly favorably priced, I don't think.
Anything else here for Cleveland?
Nope, just a bunch of like one fantasy point per minute guys that are going to play like mid-30s in minutes.
Yep. On the Washington side, not really a ton of ownership coming in here. We've got 11% going to Gafford on DraftKings. We've got 11% going to Harrell on FanDuel. And then we've got 11% going to Dinwiddie on DK. To me, just like another situation where there's not a lot of priorities. Just, you know, basically the same way you just described it. A lot of guys that average like a fantasy point per minute that look okay at their prices.
Yeah. And I mean, the center spot, I think, is where I'm normally most interested in tournaments because there's so much volatility in the playing time and both guys produce at a high level. Gafford actually played 27 minutes last game, which is a lot for him, but his salary has also come up a little bit to 5K. Harrell's down to 5,600. I think
how do you project those guys? I go 24, 24.
24, 24. Yeah.
Okay. Same.
Yeah. I mean, earlier in the year, I was going like 26, 22 in favor of Harrell, but I think we're seeing Gafford start to get a little bit more run, Harrell get a little bit less. So just going 24, 24, I think they're both at a price point where if I do that, assuming neither one's getting much ownership, I'll still get to some just because of the ceiling and the volatility there. But Gafford actually getting 12% on DraftKings, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, I mean, in those moments, I'll just pay the extra $600 and go to Montrezl Harrell as a GPP play.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of just they're functionally the same play. Gafford, you know, getting a little bit more ownership because he's been the better option lately. He has played 27 minutes in three of his last four. But I just still, I don't really know what to do with that. You know, like we've seen him play really well. But it's not like Harrell doesn't play well off the bench. So there's still, I think, just going to be a lot of games where Harrell gets 26 minutes.
Any other interest in like Beal or Kuzma or Dinwiddie as any sort of priorities?
Not as priorities. Beal getting point guard eligibility on DraftKings makes him a little bit easier to get to, but he still just hasn't really lived up to that salary this year. You know, he's playing a lot of minutes, but he's around 1.1 DraftKings points per minute. Some of that has to do with poor shooting, particularly from three, but it's just, especially on a nine-game slate, I think pretty difficult to get there. Dinwiddie at 5,900 probably gets into some lineups just because he's really cheap now. He's finally priced. He's back to being priced for his 30 minutes a game. You know, he had kind of gotten priced up when Beal was out and never came back to earth. Now he's back to where he should be. So they look okay, but nothing that I'm prioritizing here.
Alrighty, that works for me. Schedule for the rest of the day. Got a loaded one here. NFL On the Contrary coming up at 11 a.m. So immediately after this show, we've got the NFL Top Stacks show at 12:30, NHL Strategy show at 2 p.m., the Yahoo NFL show at 3 p.m. Our presenting sponsor here, Prize Picks, has the college football show at 4. Adam will then be back for the deeper dive at 4:45 and then live before lock from 6 to 7:30. We've got NBA ownership rankings free today, NFL ownership projections, and NHL ownership projections are all free there as well. Let's move it on to Philly at Atlanta. This is a 1-point underdog spot for Philadelphia, 213 total. As we look at Philadelphia, we've got no real news. It's no Ben Simmons and that's it. On Atlanta, we got a Q tag on Cam Reddish. We know there's no Bogdan Bogdanovic, DeAndre Hunter, or Onyeka Okongwu. On the Philly side, the highest owned player on FanDuel or DraftKings is 6.3% owned Tobias Harris. I have a little bit of interest in $6,200 Tyrese Maxey with point guard, shooting guard on FanDuel. Yeah, I mean, is that crazy?
crazy. No,
6% owned. He's a 0.95 guy in FanDuel. I'll take that for no ownership. Joel Embiid, I think at 3% ownership, always offers some sort of ceiling in a GPP. I'm happy to get there a little bit more so than 3%, but there are no actual priorities from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree with that. 4% ownership to Tobias Harris at 7,800 on DraftKings looks pretty decent. And Embiid obviously is always a strong option, but you know, he's expensive. He's a center that is going to lower the ownership a bit. By the way, Maxey, 9 starts with Embiid and Harris this year, 0.79 FanDuel points per minute.
Oof. Oof, oof, oof. He has not been shooting good. 5 for 25 from the field over his past 2 games for Tyrese Maxey. That's not good.
20.5% usage rate in those 9 starts.
Yeah, I got him at 20 for this game. I think I just maybe think that he's a better shooter than he has been, but I also would need to look at it. But again, no priorities here, particularly against Atlanta.
Well, I mean, Atlanta's bad defensively.
Wait, what?
They've been one of the worst defenses in the league.
Really? Yeah. I don't know why I don't have that queued up in my brain. I just assume they're good because Capella's playing so much. What happened to Capella?
I mean, I guess maybe they've been playing a little bit better lately, but
wow, they're 20. Okay, so they've been fifth over the last 2 weeks, 20th on the season at cleaning the glass.
Yeah, I was going to say they're 22nd in defensive rating, but I know for a lot of the season they were like 28th. So yeah. I'm guessing that they've gotten it together a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was as bad as it's been. That's kind of wild. Let's see. Yeah, John Collins has been neutral. Yeah, Clint Capella, they've been 6 possessions worse on defense with Clint Capella on the floor this year. That's not an expected outcome. I don't know if that's a small sample thing or a shooting luck thing, or is Capella just aging in front of our eyes? Not entirely sure.
Capella's minutes also overlap with Trae Young's minutes.
Sure, but they always do.
Yeah. I just wanted to get a Trae Young dig in.
There you go. Let's talk about this Atlanta team and Trae Young, who... honestly, not all that interesting. The big piece here is going to be whether or not Cam Reddish plays. If he is in, I have quite a bit of interest at 3,400 at shooting guard small forward on DraftKings. I think there's like he could just fall into 26 minutes and be a decent play. John Collins is probably my favorite option from this game. 7K on DK, power forward, center eligibility. Nothing too crazy here, though.
Yeah, Reddish, obviously a big piece. If he plays, he looks good at 3,400, probably plays around 26 minutes or so. If he's out, you're probably getting 26 minutes from TLC. If he starts again at 3,200, nothing too exciting there, but you know, a cheap guy that's starting. You did get 29 minutes last game from Gallinari, with Reddish out. I think it's likely that if Reddish is out again, you get, you know, upper 20s in minutes from Gallo at 4,100, which would look fine. Herter looks decent at 5,100, but his salary jumped a bit from the last game. If Reddish is out, though, it does, I think, help to solidify those minutes as well. He played 34 minutes last game. I would expect about the same here. I'm with you, though. John Collins at 7K flat looks pretty good. You've seen him pretty much be priced around Capella for most of the season, but Capella is up to 8,300 on DraftKings now, while Collins is still sitting at 7K. It's likely that you get 34 minutes or so from Collins. So he looks like the best option to me from Atlanta. Trae Young, obviously, always fine. Same for Capella. But I think Collins is the one that looks the best.
All right. Anything else here for Atlanta?
No, just pay attention to the Cam Reddish news.
There we go. On to Minnesota at Brooklyn. For the Minnesota Timberwolves, we have a Q tag on Karl-Anthony Towns, actually, also a tailbone injury. Jaden McDaniels, questionable. Jalen Noel, questionable. But Anthony Edwards and Jared Vanderbilt were both probable. Pat Beverly still out for a couple more games. On the Brooklyn side, it's same as it's been, but we do get Nick Claxton back, or at least Nick Claxton available. On the Minnesota side, assuming that Towns is in for right now, I think the two best plays are probably like Edwards and Russell. If Towns ends up out, Naz Reid becomes probably one of the best plays, if not the best play on DraftKings tonight. Power forward center eligible, 3,300.
Yeah, Naz Reid would look great if Towns is out.
That'll get you away from Deadman pretty easily.
Yeah, for sure. Did you see that fall, by the way?
No.
Oh, it did not look good. He had a rough game. He got like full on kicked in the nuts, went to the locker room like immediately. I kind of thought maybe like it had ruptured or something, but he came back. And then at the end of the game, I didn't see it from the beginning, but I think he like went for a dunk, and I don't know if he got undercut or what, but he just like fell straight on his back. So it seems like he's probably legitimately questionable here. But yeah, if he's out, Naz Reid looks great. If he's in, it's kind of just, you know, the same that we've seen with Minnesota for a while now. Russell and Edwards certainly give you high ceilings at their prices, but they have come up a bit. It does make it tough to prioritize them.
Yeah. Is Naz Reid the best play on DraftKings if Cat gets ruled out?
I can't imagine he's not.
Okay. At least we're on the same page there. I don't have anything else for Minnesota. They're pretty easy to look at, and we have, like, Towns sways everything, so.
Who gets the, if Towns is out, who gets the backup center minutes?
Nathan Knight, maybe?
I was going to say, do they do that, or do they go with, like, one of McDaniels or?
I mean, against Brooklyn, like, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, does Vanderbilt potentially play more?
I think he can, for sure. I'm never comfortable with who's going to get the minutes between like Vanderbilt, McDaniels, a third guy that's fully random. But yeah.
I mean, Vanderbilt played 33 and a half minutes last game anyway. I kind of think he's interesting at 4,800, even if Cat's in.
Even if McDaniels is in?
I mean, that matters, but like you also got random guys in the rotation last game that normally wouldn't be. So
yeah.
Like I think if he stays out of foul trouble, you can still get 30 minutes from Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'm with you. Tough team to project.
And, like, he's a good fantasy producer.
Yeah, 1.02 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days.
I'm pulling it up now, but if I remember correctly, he leads the team in rebounding percentage.
Makes sense.
Yeah, he's...
Brooklyn.
19% rebounding percentage for the season for Vanderbilt.
Damn.
Cat is next at 13.9 for reference.
That's not ideal for Cat. James Harden, 10-4 on FanDuel, 11-5 on DraftKings. KD, 11K on FanDuel, 11-4 on DraftKings. They're about 10% owned on DK. Harden's up to 20 on FanDuel. I think that makes sense given the price tag. DeAndre Bembry pulling a little bit of ownership on FanDuel at 4,400. I'm not entirely sure I want to get to that, but here's the big piece. LaMarcus Aldridge is 44% owned on FanDuel. Power forward center, 5,700. He's 20% owned on DK at 6K. What is happening to these center only guys at like 5 to 6K on DraftKings just eating so much ownership?
Yeah, and this one's weird because Aldridge was only 15% owned when he played on Tuesday or whatever, and that was a 5-game slate also.
Yeah,
so I don't know if maybe it's the fact that he played 32 minutes and people are just, you know, projections look different now because people saw it happen again, or if, you know, maybe the ownership comes down as the day goes on. But I think Aldridge is a good play. I don't think anything changed. You know, granted, I was drastically over the field on Tuesday, but
it's probably worse. Like, I don't know if Claxton's going to play, but that certainly doesn't help.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think Aldridge looks fine. I think that's a lot of ownership, though.
There's no chance that I'm anywhere near 44% on FanDuel right now. And I think he's a really good play. I think he's the best play on Brooklyn on FanDuel, but not at 44% ownership in a GPP. That's asinine.
He's at 3 starts now with Harden and Durant. He's averaged 0.9 DraftKings points per minute in those games. That's obviously pulled down quite a bit by the last game against the Knicks where he was absolutely awful. He played – well, one thing that I – just from watching that game that did concern me is there was a lot of Aldridge boxing out and James Harden grabbing rebounds going on, which, you know, we see that happen a lot. You know, Westbrook, Josh Hart back – in the Lakers days, obviously not good for Aldridge's fantasy production, even though it's good for the team. So that is something to keep in mind. He played most of his minutes alongside Harden. I'm looking now to see what that looks like for the season. But that is one concern I had, was that it just seemed like they were prioritizing getting Harden those rebounds. But he's still 281 total minutes this year with Harden on the floor. Aldridge is still at 1.15 DraftKings points per minute with a 16% rebounding percentage.
Okay. Do you have anybody else that stands out for Brooklyn?
With Harden and Durant on, Aldridge has played 189 minutes. He's still at 1.07 DraftKings points per minute. So overall, I think he is a good play. I do have a little bit of a concern over kind of what they were doing last game. As far as the rest of the team goes, I mean, Durant and Harden obviously are always good plays if you can get to them. Harden is playing better lately, as we expected to be the case as the season went on. Usage rates up a couple of points from earlier in the year as well. So either of them look good. But I think Aldridge is probably the easiest one to get to. Nothing else that really stands out.
All right. I got nothing else here either. So let's go to the Orlando Magic, 2.5-point dogs in Houston, 214 total. Unfortunately, the Houston side of this one's going to be pretty difficult to talk about. But we'll start on the Orlando side, where we have no Jalen Suggs, no Isaac, no Fultz, no MCW, no Etuan Moore. Pretty common at this point. On the Houston end of it, though, Q-tag on Kevin Porter. I don't expect him to play, but I do have him in right now. We have no Jalen Green for the next couple games. Christian Wood is probable. And DJ Augustine is now off of the health and safety protocols. So let's start on the Orlando side. We've got Wendell Carter Jr. projected for 30% ownership across FanDuel and DraftKings. That's another guy in the sixes that's pulling a ton of ownership. I think this one makes a little bit more sense, at least against Houston. Mo Bamba, not too far behind from an ownership perspective. We've got Terrence Ross at 16% on DK at 3,100. We talk about that. Cole Anthony is around 20% across both sites. Franz Wagner on DraftKings at 5,800 is pulling a little love. Like, I like Orlando, but maybe not this much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with any of this. Like,
anything's wrong. It's just not fun.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's also, they're all either really cheap or, I mean, Carter, Anthony, Bamba are actually good fantasy producers. It's not like,
yeah.
It's not like these guys are getting ownership and normally they suck and now they're playing Houston, so they're getting ownership. Like, they're good fantasy producers. It's normally just a matter of how many minutes are they going to play because the team as a whole is so bad. But it's pretty unlikely this game ends up being a blowout. Houston is the fastest team in the league, or at least top two. I know it goes back and forth between them and the Lakers, but 1.08 DraftKings points per minute for Carter this year, 1.04 for Bamba, 1.16 for Anthony. All of these guys are likely to play a bunch of minutes. Anthony played 37 minutes last game in his first game back from injuries, so no reason to be concerned at all about him. Wendell Carter Jr., 33 minutes last game. Bamba played 27. You know, typically you're getting 30 to 32 from those guys. And then, you know, Terrence Ross only played 23 and a half minutes, but he's also 3,100 against the Rockets. If you don't want to go there, you have Chuma Okeke, who played 21 minutes last game. He's, I think, 3,600. So, you know, either of those guys look fine. Gary Harris at 4K looks reasonable. He started and played 35 minutes again. Wagner is playing 32 to 34 minutes most nights. I think the ownership on this team just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so do I. I just don't want it to. is really where I land because they're terrible. They're actively bad. Now, Cole Anthony, as you mentioned, Cole Anthony, Bamba, and Wendell Carter are also good fantasy performers, but they are not a fun team to roster. All righty. Anything else here for Orlando?
No.
All right. So for Houston, I don't really know what we do here because so much depends on Kevin Porter's status. If Kevin Porter is playing, I don't have a ton of interest in any individuals here. Like, Porter and Wood would be the first two guys, but Jayshon Tate is 7,500 now. I don't even know if it matters if Kevin Porter Jr. is out at that price. He's 6K on DraftKings. I think that's a little bit more reasonable. Eric Gordon looks okay across both sites, but if Porter's in, I'm not really excited for anything. And if Porter is out, this team becomes like a legitimate problem.
Yeah, if Porter's in, I'm with you. Like, I still think 6K for Jayshon Tate looks pretty good on DraftKings. Obviously, don't read too much into last game. He was playing most of that game without Porter and without Wood, but he's still been about a 0.9 fantasy point per minute guy this year. He's likely to play around 32 minutes, even if those guys are in. So he still looks fine at 6K. If Porter is in, you know, 7,700 for him, 9,300 for Wood, neither one looked great. We talked last game about the issue with the Houston rotation now without Tice in the rotation. And then Tice, you know, naturally played off the bench last game, but you're not seeing Sengun play minutes alongside Christian Wood. And that's a problem for Wood's minutes upside, just because typically you assume you're going to get decent run from Sengun. Granted, he barely played last game, but normally I think it makes it a little bit less likely you're getting those 36 minute games from Wood. So the ceiling is still there just from a production standpoint, but as the salary is increasing and his average playing time is decreasing, that's a little bit of a problem. If Porter is out though, Armani Brooks looks very good at 3,400. Augustine potentially would be back in the rotation. Kenyon Martin Jr. at 3,300 could see some more minutes. Matthews has been playing low 30s at 4,500. So if Porter is out, it just changes everything because not only is there more playing time to go around, but there's also more usage.
God, this team's just so bad at the end. I wasn't totally listening because Laffy was messaging me, but did you touch on Wood at just center by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. Because I know that you and I had talked about it and I wanted to make sure that, like, we brought it up.
Yeah. Alex and I talked about it the other day too, before the Houston game, but then of course last game Tice was ahead of Sengun in the rotation, but I think the point holds that you expect normally you're going to get Sengun.
Wait, did Tice come on before Wood got hurt?
Tice, I don't know when Wood. So, I mean, I think Wood got hurt twice in that game.
He did.
I don't know when the first time was. Wood But Tice was the first guy off the bench. I don't know if that was a Wood injury or not. That would actually make some sense if, like, Wood got hurt at the six-minute mark and then Tice came in and then Şengün came in after him. That would make some sense, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, like, I didn't give Tice minutes for today.
Yeah, if, like, I'm fully expecting it to just be Wood and Şengün.
Do you think if Porter sits that Tice is actually just in the rotation again? Do you think we get any Wood minutes at the four?
I don't think so. Like, it's just not necessary. They still have Martin. They have Brooks. They have Christopher. They have House. Now you have Augustine back.
Okay. Michael Ramatree, why do they play Tice over Şengün? They don't. I mean, like, they kind of did in this last one, but they don't ever otherwise. I don't have anything else here, but this is probably one of the bigger pieces of news that we got to wait on.
Yeah, and the second half rotation last game is cleaner. Obviously, you didn't have Wood, but if you just make Daniel Tice, Christian Wood, you got, you know, Tice playing the first 8 minutes, then Şengün playing behind him, and then Tice coming back in the close. That's the rotation I expect here between Wood and Şengün.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about our presenting sponsor on this show. That would be Prize Picks. And we'll start with the deal. If you're interested in getting a month of Osimo Plus, and you should be, use the promo code Osimo. Sign up with the link in the description of this video. You'll get a free month of Osimo Plus Platinum. And on that first deposit, you can get up to $100 for a first match. You can't beat it. There's no sharks, no optimizers or mass entry. You're making a five-player lineup that can net up to 10x your entry fee. You can do multiple sport, cross-sport entries. You can download the app in the App Store, Google Play, or just go to prizepicks.com and play. We have free player prop tools on the website that will help you out here. You don't have to pay a cent for it, but you also do get a month of Osimo Plus, so you can scope out what we've got going on. I'm going to hit Adam with a couple player props for fantasy points today. We'll see where he actually lands here. Where's the last game that we looked at? Because these things are in no particular order. Not even close. So let's start with Caris LeVert, 28 fantasy points.
Over?
FanDuel, by the way.
Over, but not with a whole lot of confidence.
Okay. I'm with you there. How about 32 on Dwayne Dedman? I'm going to smash the under on that bad boy.
I mean, I think it's close, but I would lean under.
Yeah. I think it's so easy for him to just not play 32 minutes.
Yeah.
What else? We'll do one more. Ooh, that's a big number. All right, my boy, Tyrese Maxey, 29.
29 fantasy points?
Yes. I mean, obviously, if it's 29 real points, I'm expecting you to take the under.
Yeah, I'd go over.
Okay. I got him projected for 16 real points, so that might be a line that's slightly off. Either way, guys, go check out Prize Picks. Use that promo code Osimo when you sign up. Four more games to go. I'm slowly but surely getting there. I'm boiling in sweat right now. The New Orleans Pelicans, 8-point dogs, 218 total. We have a Q tag on Josh Hart. That should be pretty important. We could just see Garrett Temple fall into those minutes again. That's the only real news we have to worry about other than Zion is going to be out a little bit longer. I think he got himself stuck in an all-you-can-eat buffet. What do we do with the Pels here? They don't look all that great, and I'm assuming for right now I have Hart in. Brandon Ingram was my favorite option here.
Yeah, same. I've been getting to Ingram a decent amount recently, which I don't really like, but he's reasonably priced. He's got about a 30% usage rate. He's only shooting guard eligible on DraftKings, though, which does make it a little bit more difficult to get to him. I think Devontae Graham at 4,700 is kind of interesting just from a ceiling standpoint. But and then, you know, Jovell, we know, has a really high ceiling as well. But nothing really stands out here pricing-wise.
By any chance, did you see the tweet I retweeted about Oklahoma City and the potential players on their team?
When did you tweet it?
A little bit earlier. So Giddy was trending, and the blurb under Giddy trending is Oklahoma City fans wonder what impact missing stars Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Josh Giddy, and Paolo Banchero might have had on Thursday's game. They're already giving him like the number one pick in the draft for next year.
Who?
Banchero is a French. Banchero is a freshman at Duke right now, and like up with Chet Holmgren to be the number one pick in the draft, and they're already just like assigning him to Oklahoma City. So ridiculous.
Holmgren's hilarious. OKC is the second pick, though, right? Houston's going to run away with the first one.
Well, I mean, it doesn't. Like, the odds are basically the same at that point in time. It's not like they actually get it. Either way, it's just hilarious that they are already just talking about how Oklahoma City's going to end up with a high-level draft pick like he was missing for the Thunder.
Right.
On the Dallas side, we've got a Q tag on Kristaps Porzingis. I'm just going to go with the assumption that he's playing, but I never trust that dude. Ntilikina also questionable now. We've got Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic, both 25% owned on FanDuel. Brunson is 20 on DraftKings. Luka is 10, even at 11-8. I like Luka. I like Jalen Brunson. I don't really know what I should be doing with like Tim Hardaway or Kristaps Porzingis, but I'm curious on your thoughts because it's a good matchup against New Orleans.
Yeah, it is. One of the least efficient defenses in the league. Luka's always fine. He hasn't been the same level producer as guys like Jokic and Giannis this year, but that doesn't really matter since neither of them are playing tonight. It makes it even easier to get to Luka. There is, you know, strong mid-range tonight. He is very expensive at 11-8, but he looks good. I think Brunson's probably the guy I get to the most here at 4,900 on DraftKings. Played 24 minutes last game, but again, probably lost a few minutes because of garbage time. Typically, I expect him to be in the closing lineup. He's around a 0.9 fantasy point per minute guy when he's played with Luka and Porzingis this year, so that looks pretty good at that salary. You did get Reggie Bullock in the starting lineup with Hardaway coming off the bench. I think that's good for Hardaway's usage. Potentially bad for Jalen Brunson as well, but I still think Brunson's been good enough this year. I'm not too concerned about it. 5,300 for Hardaway is kind of interesting given that he's going to play more minutes without Luka now. But on a slate this big, I still don't think it's much of a priority. It's more so just if I get to it, you know, at low ownership in some lineups, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, less than 2% across FanDuel and DraftKings. I'd like to have a little bit of that in a GPP, just especially with him staggered a bit more now.
Yeah.
Anything else here for Dallas?
I want to see what Hardaway's numbers are with Porzingis on and Luka off, because basically when he's playing with the second unit, it means he's playing some minutes with just Luka, and then he's playing some minutes with just Porzingis. I would assume the just Porzingis ones are the better minutes. 133 minutes this year, still only a 19.7% usage rate and 0.81 DraftKings points per minute, but I think it at least gives him a higher ceiling because, you know, it's just less competition for shots.
Austin, this is not a fun game, but unfortunately we've got no Jaylen Brown. The Boston Celtics are 8.5-point dogs at Utah, 213 total. Wow, it is 10:30. I gotta slow down. Let me take this off quickly because I'm boiling right now. I started the show off
in like 30 seconds.
I know. I'm just drenched in sweat. It's pretty awful. Let's slowly take our time discussing the Boston Celtics. We're going to end up getting out of here early. I don't really care. We have no Jaylen Brown. That has an impact across the board, whether it's minutes or usage. Jason Tatum is 9,500 on FanDuel, 10-1 on DraftKings. Not really pulling all that much ownership. Clearly difficult matchup. Dennis Schroeder pulling a ton of ownership on FanDuel, quite a bit on DraftKings. Only guy that's really getting any ownership on DK. Horford as well, 17% owned on FanDuel. Josh Richardson, not pulling any ownership. Not entirely sure why. Any thoughts on anybody here for Boston?
Richardson, I think it's probably because he sucks, but he is 3,800 and likely to play 30 minutes, so I still think he's fine. Schroeder gets a nice bump here. His salary was on its way back down. He's 6K. He's played 9 games this year without Brown and with Tatum. He's averaged 35.5 minutes per game. He's averaged 0.97 DraftKings points per minute. Difficult matchup here, like you said, but just looks like a pretty solid option. 5,200 for Robert Williams. We know that he hasn't produced at the same level this year that he has in the past, but that's also still a pretty cheap price tag if you wanted to take some shots there in tournaments. Al Horford looks okay. I think Schroeder's the easiest guy to get to, though. Tatum gets more opportunities without Brown, but he's also just struggled in general this season from an efficiency standpoint. So I kind of think he's still priced correctly at 10-1.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think 10-1's all that crazy.
Yeah, like it's
fine. 6-7% ownership for Jason Tatum seems about right for this role and this matchup and everything that's happening.
Yeah, in the 9 games he's played without Brown this year, 1.39 DraftKings points per minute, 33.8% usage rate, 37 minutes per game. So he looks good. It's just, I think the salary is still kind of there from when Brown was out before.
Do we have anything else here?
I don't think so. There's some cheap pricing. Like there's a lot of upside from this team just because of Brown being out, but it's also a really tough spot. And Brown was out recently enough that like there's cheap pricing, but it's not like they're completely mispriced because they had already come up.
You getting to any Freedom at 3,400?
Revenge game.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of them here. That was his first team, right?
Yes. Was it OKC or Utah?
I think it was Utah. I don't totally know, but now I want to know. It was Utah. Good. Utah, then OKC, then the Knicks, then the Blazers, then the Celtics, then the Blazers, then the Celtics. And then he was the WWE 24/7 champion in 2019. That is on his Wikipedia page. I have no idea.
He went to high school in the U.S.
I also did not know that he went to high school in the U.S. Stone Ridge Prep, and then went and played overseas.
Yeah, I just assumed he had come from overseas.
Nationality. He's Turkish from 1992 to 2017, stateless from 2017 to 2021, and now an American. What up, freedom? What up? All right, Utah. They're at full strength, so I don't have a ton of interesting stuff. It's the same sort of story we always have. I'll have some Mitchell, some Gobert, some Bojan Bogdanovic. I don't see really any of them being major priorities for today, but they look pretty good.
Yeah, kind of the same as usual with Utah. Yeah. Mitchell, 8,800 is okay. 8,600 for Gobert is okay. There's nothing that stands out. It's just kind of an unappealing fantasy game in general, I think. But, you know, getting these guys a little bit makes some sense. Just nothing that stands out.
It's so hard to talk about Utah.
It's just like the same thing every day. Donovan Mitchell's good. He's priced correctly. Rudy Gobert averages 1.3 DraftKings points per minute. He's priced correctly. He's a center. The opportunity cost is high. Mike Conley's going to play around 30 minutes at a fantasy point per minute. That's where his salary is. Jordan Clarkson's going to shoot a bunch off the bench. If they go in, you're going to want him in your lineup. If they don't go in, you don't want him in your lineup. That's kind of just the same thing like every single day.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not fun at all. I don't have anything else for Utah.
No, me neither.
All righty. Let's talk about the promo code for this show. If you want to sign up at awesomeo.com, you can get an Awesomeo Plus weekly pass for $29.95 if you use the promo code NBA Strategy Show. That's one big word. This includes full access to all of our premium content and tools. That's player projections, ownership projections, our Discord, lineup builder, much more. Again, that's NBA Strategy Show, one gigantic word, 25% off your first week of Awesomeo Plus Platinum. Or if you're just looking for NBA DFS, you can go and get our Awesomeo Plus NBA weekly package for $16.95, or our NBA weekly express pass. That is $5. That gets you full access to our NBA showdown and single game contest. Stop guessing, start winning, join Awesomeo Plus today. I'm having so much trouble speaking. Words just don't show up on the tip of my tongue the way that I would like them to. Alrighty, two games left, double late night hammers, 10 o'clock start, and we know what this one is. Do the Phoenix Suns continue their win streak here? 6.5-point dogs in Golden State. Golden State looking for some revenge from 2 days ago. We'll start on the Phoenix side. We know no Devin Booker. The rotation for Phoenix sort of just played out the way that we were expecting yesterday. We've got Landry Shamet projected for about 15% ownership across both sites. Cam Johnson on FanDuel is around 15. Cameron Payne on DraftKings is around 23. We're seeing Bridges, Paul, and Ayton basically around 10, depending on which site you're looking at. There's a lot to like here for Phoenix, but I don't really see them as priorities.
Yeah, I mean, I still like the $8,400 tag on Paul. I like the $7,400 tag on Ayton. We saw Paul play 33 and a half minutes yesterday. Certainly the potential for him to play more here against Golden State. He had a somewhat abbreviated stint in the second quarter where he didn't close the second half. I think, you know, in this game, it's likely he gets that full extra, you know, few minutes there. So I think it's likely you get around 36 minutes from Paul. Since last year, without Booker on the floor, he has about a 23.5% usage rate. He's averaged I know he has about a 23.5% usage rate, waiting for the rest to load, but assist percentage is up. He's at, it keeps putting Booker on. I don't know. Paul's better now than he normally would be. 8,400 certainly reasonable. Ayton looks good at 7,400. Cameron Payne's salary came down to 3,700, which makes him even scarier than he was yesterday if you don't have him in lineups. But we did see that rotation kind of play out the same way, where he didn't play a lot of minutes alongside Chris Paul. He played a few, but still played 21.5 minutes total. And that's including picking up those almost 5 minutes at the end of the first half where Chris Paul, I think, normally is going to be on the floor. So I'm not very confident in Payne's minutes, but 3,700, if he does find a way to 22 minutes or so, he's reasonable. Shamit's likely to play around 30 minutes again. His salary jumped to 4K, makes him not look great. Cam Johnson at 4,200 is fine, but not a priority. Jay Crowder, I think, is kind of interesting. He could get some center minutes here, I think, in this matchup. Maybe McGee doesn't play all the backup center minutes. Crowder, you know, potentially gets the 30 minutes. So I do kind of like Crowder in tournaments at 4,400.
Yeah, do we think they go a little bit smaller against Golden State? We saw JaVale get 8 minutes two games ago. It's not the best spot for JaVale McGee. Should we be looking at like an extra minute or two for someone like Jay Crowder? I mean, obviously, Mikal Bridges is going to play 48 minutes today at this point. Dude's just out there permanently. It's three straight at least over 40. Yeah. 39, 41, 41, 41.
In the game against Golden State, Crowder played 28.2 minutes, but he also picked up his third foul with 5 minutes and 16 seconds to go in the second quarter. And so he went back to the bench. They were kind of looking at like a, you know, 32 to 34 minute, rotation for Crowder.
And how many minutes have you been giving Bridges?
Not 38? Enough. I've been giving him 36, especially giving him more probably.
Okay. Yeah. If I give him 38, he's a real problem.
I mean, the rates suck, but the minutes.
Yeah. Are... Yeah. 0.73 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days is not ideal, but I mean, if he's going to play 38 to 40 minutes every time that he's out there, I don't want to do it, but it's there. I like that Crowder shout though. He could very easily just be the five and they could go small. I might have to look at that because I've got JaVale in for 16 minutes right now and I don't feel all that comfortable with it. Anything else here for Phoenix?
No.
All right. Golden State side of this one. We've got no Klay Thompson, clearly. No Andre Iguodala still. No James Wiseman still. Damian Lee and Gary Payton II are both available. This basically just lands in a I'm willing to play four guys on this team. Curry, Wiggins, Green, and Poole. I don't really think that Steph Curry looks all that great here. 10-8 on FanDuel, 11-9 on DraftKings. He's not getting owned, but unfortunately, I think Andrew Wiggins for 5,800 on FanDuel is the best option. Jordan Poole for 6,500 on DraftKings might be my second favorite option. I don't like Golden State today, but I rarely do.
So before we get there, I did finally get Chris Paul's numbers without Devin Booker since last year.
Okay, congrats.
1,053 minutes, 23.5% usage rate, 1.29 DraftKings points per minute, 48% assist percentage. So looks really good. As far as the Golden State side, it's a fast-paced game, so that's appealing. Curry at 11.9, I think looks good. He's pretty comparable to Luka for me, probably a slight edge on DraftKings for Curry, slight edge for Luka on FanDuel would be my assumption. Poole at 6,500 certainly has a high ceiling. We know he's likely to play 32 minutes or so. Draymond's always okay, but I think the pricing is more or less where it should be. I think I'll get to Curry and Poole the most. Damian Lee being back also potentially cuts into Otto Porter Jr.'s minutes at least a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I can get to anybody that isn't Curry, Wiggins, Green, or Poole here. At least from a FanDuel perspective. Everybody is 4K or more.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Again, I would like to watch this game. The most likely scenario here is that I watch the condensed version the Saturday morning because it doesn't feel like I'm going to make it to 10 o'clock tonight. Anything else here for Golden State?
Nope.
Tyler, we're going to be getting out of here soonish. Did you know that this Clippers-Lakers game that is up next got flexed out of the national TV spot for tonight for Golden State and Phoenix?
I did not, but that's a good call.
Yeah, obviously makes a ton of sense. Wild to think that the Clippers and the Lakers are getting flexed out of anything to show them less, particularly when everybody for the Lakers is healthy and basically everybody for the Clippers outside of Kawhi is healthy. Like, oh well, beat it, guys. I like that they're highlighting the, you know, like the teams that are at the top right now. So Paul George is in for today. No Nick Batum, no Kawhi Leonard, no Jason Preston, the last of which does not matter at all. For the Lakers, probable tag on Avery Bradley, probable tag on LeBron James. We've got a Q tag on Anthony Davis that I'm not super worried about, but you never know with Anthony Davis. No Trevor Ariza, no Kendrick Nunn, and Dwight Howard expected to get the start. Not only that, Dwight Howard played 35 minutes the last time out, the most of any player on the Lakers. I'm going to hit on Cheesy T's super chat right now, which is a pretty nice one. Said, appreciate you guys. Keep up the great content. Big takedown last night. Couldn't have done it without you guys. Good luck today. Cheesy T.
That's awesome.
Congratulations, man. Happy for you. On the Clippers side, Paul George is 9,200 on FanDuel, so they at least fixed that a little bit. He's 20% owned, which makes some sense. Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris are both around 10% on FanDuel. I have some interest there. Paul George and everybody else, a little bit more expensive on DK, not really as owned. So where are you looking for the Clippers?
So George being back obviously cuts into the expected usage of most of these guys from last game. But 10-3 for George, I think, looks fine. Certainly more favorable on FanDuel at 9,200. But DraftKings still looks okay. It is a good matchup. The Lakers don't defend well. They play fast. George has averaged between 1.3 and 1.4 fantasy points per minute this year. 6,600 for Jackson, 5,300 for Bledsoe, I think, are both reasonable as well. Marcus Morris still seems underpriced to me at 4,700 with Batum out. I just think it's likely you're getting 34 minutes or so from him. He's around the 0.9 fantasy point per minute guys. So some interest in Morris. Still not completely confident what they're going to do with this center rotation now that you have Ibaka back. He was getting some run as the backup four two games ago. Then he started alongside Zubats last game. So I'm not really sure what to do with that, because like Ibaka is really cheap, but he's also only a center on DraftKings, which makes me not really want to take too many shots at him. Zubats at 4,800 probably plays around 24 minutes. Probably not something I'm going to get to too much of. So I think it's pretty much George, Jackson, Bledsoe, Morris where I'm interested, but none of them really stand out on DraftKings.
Do you think they have any additional interest in going to more Zubats today, just given the size of the Lakers?
That's what I was thinking, but it also goes back to them having three centers now. I don't really know.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they care if Serge Ibaka has to guard Dwight Howard either.
Right. Like, it's kind of, do I think that they play more minutes big here? Probably. But does it mean that it's Zubats? I have no idea. Okay. If Ibaka were still out, I would really like Zubats here.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So I assume Zubats plays like 18 minutes and Marcus Morris plays all of the minutes at the five. Ibaka sits and like, I don't trust this team. I mean, they've got too many different dudes they can play in that regard. Like, I don't know what they're doing with Justice Winslow. I guess he's not a part of the team, but pops up for like 6 minutes every once in a while. I don't know. Ooh, Jay Scrubb and Keon Johnson got on the floor for this last one. Nice to see that they're dusting those guys off.
Did Boston play?
He did 24 minutes. I mean, like everybody played.
Yeah.
So we'll close it out with the Lakers. Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James. For the most part, the only things you're going to be looking at, unowned AD, unowned Russell Westbrook, unowned LeBron James, the only guy getting any ownership. It's certainly not on FanDuel for 5,200 on Dwight Howard, but he is 3,600 on DraftKings, 8% owned. The question then becomes, how many minutes does Dwight Howard play? Because if it's more than 20, you probably want more than 8%. I think he becomes a very different value play.
Yeah, I think this one is really difficult. But LeBron being in makes me think that it's likely they go back to kind of that rotation they were using earlier in the year, just sort of replacing DeAndre Jordan with Dwight Howard. So
yeah.
I think there's a good chance you're getting around 20 minutes from Howard, and then you're getting, you know, Anthony Davis at the five. So
massive upside on Howard though today.
Yeah.
For 8% owned.
Yeah. There's enough volatility here that, you know, like my assumption is that you're getting around 20 minutes, but that's based on nothing other than what they were doing with DeAndre Jordan earlier in the year. So I don't really know. If he plays 20 minutes, he still looks like a decent value.
Yeah.
And there's certainly the chance that even if I'm not like totally wrong, like even if he's somewhat limited, but if he plays 24 instead of 20, you know, that's still making a big difference at that price.
Yeah. We're talking about an extra like 5 fantasy points at that point or something in that neighborhood. That's absolutely massive at 3,600. And I don't think that there's a ton of downside either if he's starting. Like, surely there's downside in everybody, but with him starting, I'm assuming like no lower than 18, but I think the ceiling is 32.
Right. Like what if he, even if the plan going in is for him to play like 18 to 20, what if he's just like playing like prime Dwight Howard dominating? Right.
He has 8 like, and 16 gonna... or something like that, dominating the boards. That's totally feasible.
Right. And I mean, if there's anything, I think the biggest takeaway from the last game is that we saw Frank Vogel be very willing to adjust with what he was going to do with that center spot, because he was not planning on playing Dwight Howard, and then Howard ends up getting onto the floor and playing well and ends up just playing a ton of minutes. So I think that this is just a spot where there's a ton of volatility, and I'm with you. I think the floor is relatively high for his salary on DraftKings. You know, even if you get 18 minutes, he's probably okay. But yeah, if he just happens to play more, then it's somebody that you're going to have pretty quickly.
And I assume every minute that he's playing, in addition to whatever we project, is like valuable too.
Right.
Like it's probably going well. We have two questions in chat that I want to touch on. One is, let's close this out first. AD, Russ, LeBron. I will continue to be interested in AD and basically not the other two guys. Where are you?
Davis, number one, LeBron, number two, Westbrook, a distant third, especially because he's the most expensive.
Yep, we're on the same page there. All right, Marcus said, would you rather play Ibaka or Howard? I don't think that's even close.
It's Howard for me.
Yeah, same. And then Kickstart said, how do you handle the Lakers guys now? Make sure they're all separated so you only get one in a lineup, or you think if they go off, you would need two of the stars. I don't even have to worry about it. I'm basically just not going to get them.
Yeah, I'm not really going to get them anyway, but as far as the rules, you can just say like max one, LeBron, Davis, Westbrook. What I typically do, and again, it doesn't end up really mattering, is I just say if more than one, then I need somebody from the Clippers.
When push comes to shove, I'm just not going to, like, the amount of times that I'm going to generate lineups that have two of them in are going to be so minimal that I don't mind. And I don't think it's crazy to have two of them. It's not great, but like,
it's just more,
I would never want to stop that from happening either.
Right. That's why I prefer the if two than someone from, like, if I have 10-9 Davis and 10-4 LeBron, and they're both putting up tournament winning scores on a 9-game slate, there's a pretty good chance either Paul George is going nuts or Bledsoe's having a monster game or Jackson's making every three. Somebody on the Clippers is keeping them in the game.
OB says, can you play Howard and one Laker star on FanDuel? No, you don't want to. It's going to be really difficult to project that you want to play Dwight Howard on FanDuel at 5,200.
As far as the Howard plus a Laker star, that part is fine. You're just saying that it's hard to play Howard in general.
I probably don't want it to be AD, but like it's also not a huge issue. But at 5,200 for Dwight, if you're assuming that you got to be assuming that he's playing like 26 plus minutes for that to become more appealing. Here's a tricky, like Naz Reid ends up being way ahead of Dwight Howard, but if Kat gets ruled out, that makes me more interested in Dwight because I don't think that anybody's getting to this range for Dwight Howard any longer.
Yeah, but I mean, you can still just play Reid at power forward.
Oh, yeah. I'm still going to be playing him quite a bit, but like, I don't think that Dwight Howard's ownership is going to go up from this mark if Kat gets ruled out.
Right.
This last game is not fun because, like, any one of AD, Westbrook, or LeBron can be the highest scorer on the slate, and that's not fun to prepare for when you think they're all, like, one percenters.
Yeah, I prefer the slates where you have Giannis or Jokic, and I don't even have to think about LeBron and Davis.
Yeah. Like, especially at no ownership. Now, with AD, Russ, and LeBron, I assume that they all end up like the name cachet brings their ownership to like 3%, 4%, 5% across the board. Have you been paying attention to it at all when they're all playing?
No, I haven't.
It seems like something we'd be slightly light on.
I never do well, so I never notice.
Yeah, it seems like something we would just naturally be a little bit lighter on just because of who they are and where they play. Like,
I think that's the case with stars in general. You know, like we've seen it on Luka. You know, he'll be projected for 3%. He ends up being like 8%.
Yeah, which doesn't matter in the long run, but at the same time, like when I start getting those guys, then I want to be cognizant about giving them like a slight bump in ownership just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, typically it doesn't make a huge difference as far as how much I get to normally. Like I do, I basically don't project anybody for less than like 2% ownership anyway. So that random like 1% to 2% gap doesn't throw me off in like math. But I mean,
The leverage on Jaren Jackson Jr. is 88.
Right. I mean, generally, you know, it matters, but it's not going to make a huge difference to me if somebody ends up being 6% owned instead of 4 or whatever.
No, it's when they're 6 and they're 20 is when you start running into some issues. I don't have anything else here. Do you?
No.
NFL, on the contrary, coming up after this, we'll be able to give Tyler a couple extra minutes to hit the head and get a drink and all that good stuff. Adam, deep dive later today, deeper dive at 4:45.
Yep. Not sure who's on the deeper dive with me. Looks like
gotta be
literally just got deleted, so I have no idea.
Laffy needs out for it. Okay. So I don't know. I'd like to throw my hat in the ring for that bad boy. I have no idea if I'm even going to be awake at that point. I haven't even registered the slate yet. So we'll see what I feel like in a couple hours.
Show for me, cool.
I mean,
God, that would be awful for everybody.
Would it?
One, the show would last 15 minutes. Two, I can't multitask. Like, there would be no ad reads. There would be no interacting with chat. And it would be me just like stumbling through trying to talk and click things at the same time.
Well, if you ever want to see a one-man show, that would be The Process, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. This is some person right here that can actually handle it with ad reads and all that good stuff.
So. I think I'm going to be putting some of those out there soon.
The Process shows?
No, not
Process. You mean Contenders?
Shows. What?
Contenders are like the short form, these are my top plays videos. That's what you mean, right?
Oh, yeah, I think. I don't know.
The Process show is this show, but I share my screen and everybody sees me like build out the rotations and project minutes.
Definitely
and
not doing that.
No, I didn't think so. I'm also quite positive that you're not getting up at 5:15 to prep that type of show.
Absolutely not.
Well, there it is, everybody. That'll do it. Contenders videos are going to be out sometime in the near future, but we're going to see. I need to put food in my stomach and see if I can hold my eyes open any longer. I appreciate all of you guys being here. If you haven't yet hit the like button, please do so. That helps us out a ton. Good luck. Enjoy your weekend. Go Liverpool tomorrow. We'll be back with the strategy show, at least Adam and I, on Monday morning. So good luck.